praying over this message for the last week, and I have fear and tremble in my heart, and I will explain later. First of all, I want you to know that I love you, that what God has shown me through this study is for the growth of the church, is for our own benefit, and it only depends on us if we decide to take it or if we decide not to. Amen. I want you to open your Bible in Luke chapter 21, verse 25. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. My expectation is not to be too long, but as Pastor many times says, I have so many verses right now from the Bible that you're going to be drinking from a fire hose. Just pay attention. Just stay together with me. If you don't understand something, you can ask my wife later. She knows my accent better than anybody else. Let's go to Luke chapter 21, verse 25. I'm going to read it all. It's from the 25 to the 28th, and then we will jump to Psalms chapter 46, verse 1 to 3. It says like this, I'm reading the King James Version, and says, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts falling them for," and say with me, "fear." I don't know if you ate breakfast this morning. Say with me, "fear." "And for looking after those things which are coming onto the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." And number 28 says like this, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draw nigh." I just love this verse. But now let's jump to Psalms chapter 46, verse 1 to 3, and says, "God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear," said, "will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Church, I'm coming with a message from God. I know He spoke these words to me, and I believe that we have a necessity of fear. And that's the title of my message. It's called Necessity of Fear. Look at the brother and sister next to you and say, "Necessity of Fear." I know it sounds a little strange, but we have a necessity of fear. I want you to lift your hands for a moment, and we're all going to pray. I want you to pray with me. Lord God, I come to your presence with the utmost respect. I'm a small vessel, Lord, but you have a word for us this morning. And I know we need this in these last days, Lord. Help us to understand what you have for us this morning. And help me to preach the word how you want me to preach it. I believe in you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, say amen. Church, you might be seated. I don't want to be too long, but I have a message for you. And will you help me to preach? Okay, that's good, because in my notes I wrote yes, that you were going to help me to preach. So let's start. I know that at the beginning of the message, and as you can see, this weird name, it says the necessity of fear. I'm pretty sure that if I ask you if you can define the word fear, you probably have two or three examples in your brain that shows what are you afraid of. Now, the Webster Dictionary defines the word fear as an unpleasant, and it says often a strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. So what this means is that normally fear in our brains, it's understood as a bad thing. And we believe many times that fear doesn't bring anything good to us. But the reality is that fear can have two faces. There can be two things about fear. I can possibly give you a couple examples of negative fear. There is people, I have a couple of friends that have fears of germs, and that could be a negative fear. They're germophobic. People, they're extremely afraid to shake your hand. They're extremely afraid to go on the outside. They're extremely afraid to touch anything if it is not with gloves. That, it's a bad kind of fear. I have another one. I'm pretty sure that when we were a child, at least in my case, some of us were afraid of the darkness. And I believe that there's still people that is an adult and they're still afraid of the darkness. There's nothing bad in the darkness, but in our brains, we understand that that fear is negative. But let me give you a couple examples of good fear. Say with me, good fear. Let's say that you're walking into a beautiful mountain and all of a sudden you realize that there is a deep cliff in front of you. And when you look down, you feel something in your belly. And he's not telling you to jump. He's telling you not to get closer, right? That is a good kind of fear because he's protecting you so you don't fall and die. So I have another example of good fear. I'm pretty sure that when you're walking on the street and you see cars passing by, you're not going to jump in front of the traffic, correct? This doesn't mean that you can't. You can do it. I don't recommend it, but this is another kind of fear because you're afraid to lose your life. You want to protect your life and your integrity. Now, what is everything about fear? Why am I speaking about fear? And I want this to be clear, and you let me know if it is clear or not. So now, after I explained that very briefly, now you know that fear can have two faces. It can be good and it can be bad. Is that correct? Are we all in the clear? Okay, so why is Brother L speaking about fear? I wanted to build this explanation and I wanted to explain to you what is fear because the Bible in several occasions mentions about the fear of God. And it says that the fear of God is a positive resource that will help us to live in obedience and in peace. The fear of God is not being scared of God, and it is not that we are afraid of the Lord, it's that we have the utmost respect to His word and to His presence. The Bible teaches that the fear of God is a reverent fear. Reverent, sometimes that word is a little hard for me to pronounce. But reverence means that it's a deep respect. Say with me, deep respect. It's deep respect towards Him. And this type of fear is a positive fear. And it's guiding us to live through this life hand to hand, closer to God. The Bible shows that fear of the Lord is wisdom. And if we depart from evil, we have understanding. Now I'm going to show you what the Bible says about the fear of the Lord in His word. Job chapter 28:28. You cannot forget this verse. It's super easy to remember. Job 28:28 and says, "And unto men he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." God is calling us to have the fear of the Lord from us to move away from evil. Let's read Psalms chapter 25, verse 12 to 14. "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose." And he's talking about God, that God will teach the men that fear the Lord His ways. And he says, "His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth." And then he says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Are we in chapter 25, 12 to 14? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. There are benefits to have the fear of the Lord in our life. There's so many other benefits that the Bible shows when we as Christians understand the fear of the Lord in our lives. And I want to go to a brief story here that you probably all know. Let's just jump into your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to go to verse number 2. It's the story of Abraham and Isaac. God speaks to Abraham, and he says on verse number 2, and it says like this, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I tell thee of. Now, in this text, you see that God is asking Abraham to do a really hard task. I know that the word that the Bible uses in verse number 1, it says that he tempted Abraham. And you can see it on 22 verse 1. Now, following the story, you know what Abraham did. Abraham had a special relationship with God. We all know that he received the blessings that says that his descendants will be counted to hundreds of thousands. We all call Abraham Father Abraham. And God makes the decision to ask him for his son, his only son. And not only asking for him, he's telling Abraham, I want your son as a burnt sacrifice. But let's read what happens in the next text. Abraham gets his son, two of his servants, and a donkey. And then he walks towards the mountains to God. And the mountains that God told him. And when he arrives, he tells the servant, wait here, we will come back from the sacrifice. He grabs, he creates an altar in that mountain. And then he starts bounding his son, his only son. He not only bounds it, but he starts lifting his hand with a knife. And he's ready to do the sacrifice. And I want you to pay attention to this story. Because when Abraham pulls his knife and lifts it to kill his son, this is a real test. Look at what verse 22, 11 to 12 says. It says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. And this is the part where I want to go to this story. Because he says, for now I know that thou fearest God. Now I know you fear me. Now I know you understand what is getting closer to God. And then when we keep reading the story, and that, when I was reading that, my mind couldn't understand it. I was like, wait, the Lord is testing Abraham. And to this point, he has not said that he was going to be the father of a thousands. He said he didn't bless him all that he could bless him to that point. He had to be tested on the fear of the Lord. And look at what Genesis 22, 14 says. And Abraham called the name of that place, and is the first reference of the Bible of this beautiful name, Jehovah Jireh. And it says to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. But wait. Before God will provide, Abraham had to be tested on the fear of the Lord. But not only that. After Abraham understands the fear of the Lord, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 22, 15 to 18. It's the same chapter, and it says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time, and it says like this, by myself I have sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, and this is where the blessing comes. And he says that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. This is not another story in the Bible. This is a story in the Bible that is giving us a key to understand how we can approach God and how we can achieve those blessings from him. But it will not happen if we do not have the fear of the Lord. You know, I know this message is not an easy one to preach. And I know this message is not even an easy one to read, because when I was reading it several times, I was weeping in my eyes, because the fear of the Lord means so many things. And I was like, Lord, but it's the good kind of fear, because it's not a fear that is going to destroy you. It's a fear that is going to build you up. Let me read Proverbs. And this is where we start to read a ton of Bible. Proverbs chapter 10:27 says like this, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Wait, the fear of the Lord will prolong my days. Proverbs 14:26 says, in the fear of the Lord is a strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, and he shall not be visited with evil. Are you listening to me? Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Psalms 2:11 says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. You know why sometimes it's a little bit hard for us to understand this concept? It's because fear, for us as humans, it's a bad feeling. When we have fear, it's like, oh, man, I'm the kind of person that is normally afraid of snakes. I don't like snakes. There was an occasion that I had an opportunity to touch a snake. I didn't like it. And that little thing just started getting inside of my suit, and it just went all in. And I was just petrified. I was so scared. That thing wasn't going to kill me. It was just way smaller than a plastic bag. But normally for us, fear is a bad feeling. But the way that the Lord's explaining what fear is to him, it's a completely different deal. And the Bible says that fear to the Lord is understanding that we need to treat him with the utmost respect. Philippians 2:12 says, whereof, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, it says this, work out your own salvation. Wait, what? I think that this is really powerful, because the Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippians and he's telling them that they need to work in their salvation with fear and trembling. So let me ask you this question. What kind of fear do you think that Paul was referring to? Paul was referring to the good kind of fear, the kind of fear that requires or major respect to the Lord. He wants us to work our salvation with deep respect towards God's holiness. Paul desires that we understand the duty of working in our salvation, but not only working on it, but working with fear and trembling. Let me go a little faster, because I have many other verses. Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Proverbs 16:6. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So when we want to move away from those things that take control of our life, when we want to move away from our sins and for the things that are fighting in our flesh, church, what we need to understand is that we need the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14:26-27, it says, in the fear of the Lord is a strong confidence. And I love this verse so much because it says, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life for to depart from the snares of death. Fear of the Lord is for us, church, to have the utmost respect to God, to approach him with the major respect that you can give. Church, we're living in a time in this world where the respect for the things of God has been lost, almost lost, where a lot of people mock the names of the Lord. There are churches even that the only thing they say, is like, yeah, love is just, Lord, the God, the Almighty is just a God of love. But they forget that God is a God of fire as well. God expects us to understand the need of fear, to understand the need to fear him. Understand with me, it's not a bad fear, it's a good kind of fear. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Church, I didn't dream this last night, is what the word says. If we want to get closer to God, if we want to see the glory of God, we better understand that in order for us to clean ourselves from filthiness and for the things that are coming from the world, we need to understand the fear to God, the fear of God. I know it's not an easy thing to do. But the Bible mentions that when he comes, he's going to come for a church that is clean. No, let me say it clear. I'm Hispanic. It not only says that he's going to come for a diverse church, a church that has a lot of cultures. It doesn't say that he only is going to come for a church that has a lot of love and peace. Yes, it's necessary, but it's even more necessary to understand the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 8:13 says like this, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Are you listening? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth, says the Lord, do I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We're living in times where the news normally scares us even more than what the word of God says or the presence of the Lord. Sadly, we're living in a time where the economy sometimes can get to scare us even more than what the word of God says. And I'm not telling you not to put attention on what is happening in the world right now. But church, this is not our home. I love America. I'm a Spaniard. I'm Colombian. But my citizenship is in heaven. And let me be super clear to you. If I want to make it to heaven, I need to do what the word of God says. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Do you want to see the Lord? Oh, we want to see the Lord. So we need to understand the necessity of fear of the Lord. Isaiah 33:6 says, in wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Note that having the fear of the Lord is a treasure that will help us endure these hard times. Psalms 46, 1, and I love this verse because it says, God is a refuge and strength in a very present help in trouble. Therefore, with naught we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Church, if we want to be secure in what the Word of God is saying, we need to understand the fear of the Lord. This means that we have to have a major respect for His Word. Note what Acts chapter 9, verse 31 says, and I love this one, because it says, then had the churches rested throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and then he says, and walking in the fear of the Lord, walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Read what it says. It says, they were multiplied. The fear of the Lord is an ingredient that is necessary for us to multiply to others. 1 Peter 1:15 to 19 says, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all matter of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call unto the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in, it says, in fear. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Church, what Peter wanted to say here and what he wanted us to understand is that this salvation is so great, is way more valuable than gold, way more valuable than silver. And we need to understand that while we're walking towards God, while we're getting closer to Him, we need to have this salvation with fear and tremble. With fear, we need to walk with the fear of the Lord. Again, as I was saying at the very beginning, fear is a tool that the enemy knows how to use very, very well. If you see the news lately, there is a sickness called monkeypox. It is developing in Africa at the moment. It's an ugly sickness that has already killed many. Now, the news say that you have to start getting nervous because it already got to Norway. We're taking this sickness, it's already in a European country. And it's a sickness that is super contagious and it keeps spreading. Why am I telling you this? Because the news wants us to feel free, to feel afraid. The world wants you to feel afraid, but the world doesn't want you to have the fear of the Lord. Let me tell you more about the news. What about Ukraine now? Well, I read on the news a couple weeks ago that we are closer to a third world war than we have ever been before. Isn't that scary? What about the economy? 2 Mondays ago, the stock market started falling in Japan. The U.S. dollar fell like never before. The news said that the markets were in the worst place than the Black Monday from October 1987. What about our country? We live in a country that literally hates God. That's saying that sin is bad, is discriminatory. Now we have singers saying that God might be a woman. God rebuke the devil. There is no respect to God. There is no respect to families. There is no respect to holiness. And let me say this, is a really master plan from the enemy. But that is the reason why I'm preaching this word to you today. Because the only solution that we have as a church is when we start having that fear of the Lord. When we start consecrating our lives, when we start consecrating our houses, when we start consecrating our job sites, when we, everywhere we go, we have present that God is looking over you, that God is in your midst, and you have to be afraid of his presence. But understand this, it's not a bad kind of fear. It's an almost respect to his presence. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. It says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts falling them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming unto the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Philippians 1:21 says, and it's one of the major fears of every single human being, is the fear to death. Philippians 1:21 says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let me repeat that again. How did Paul got to understand this? Because Paul had in his mind that his number one priority was to please God. His number one priority was to have God in the top of his list. It wasn't his truck, it wasn't his watch, it wasn't his house. It was meet to Jesus in heaven. That was Paul's major goal. And I want to invite you to understand this. God is calling us as a generation to understand the fear of God. We need to understand that we have to respect his house. We have to respect his name. When you approach him in your closet, just approach him with the major respect that you can have. Because God has so many other benefits to you if you have that kind of fear. The world wants you to be afraid. The world wants you to live in a stage where you're afraid for the economy, where you're afraid for the things that are happening, for the things that are not happening, for the things that you might hear or see. Because he knows what fear does. In the story of Abraham, when we read the story of Abraham, we realize that this man got to be the friend of God. It got to the point that God wanted to destroy two cities for their sins. Because remember, God is a God of love, but he's a God of fire. And he wanted to destroy these two cities. But Abraham became God's friend. How did Abraham become God's friend? Because he knew how to fear him. He knew how to fear his word. He knew that when his word said, you got to do this, he will do it. He knew that if the Lord was going to ask him for his son, he was going to give it 100%. No questions asked. Now, why am I speaking all this message to you? The musicians can come. And I believe that during this time, we are in a world that we live in a world that doesn't have any kind of respect. We live in a world that doesn't believe the word of God. We are in a world that all we want to hear is just the good things that we can get from the Lord. And many times it's so hard for us to understand that the Lord demands from us to be a clean church. A pure church, because when he comes for his church, he's going to come for a church that is without blemish. A church that is clean in all their works. Now, and you can stand real quick with me. Now, fear is a tool that the enemy knows how to use really well. And I know that many times, even in our lives, we as humans, we experience a lot of fears. And even inside of the house of the Lord, we still have some fears in our life. And that's okay. That is not a problem. But the problem is when we start losing the fear of the Lord. And I have so many other verses and texts and Bible verses that explain and say way more things about the fear of the Lord that I would like to give to you. Maybe later on I can just pass you some notes on it. But what he's wanting from us is that we approach him with the major respect, with an almost respect to his presence. He's not looking for you to be perfect. He's not looking for you to have it all figured out. But he wants you to put him first in every single area of your life. If you look at the story of Job, Job was, man, that man was, he had it tough. Because Job had to go through a lot of things. But he had a good relationship with God. He understood the fear of God. Now, what about us? We're living in a time that, honestly, many of the news are scary. I remember 2020 and 2021 when we had the pandemic, and you guys all know my story. You guys all know the story of my mother. I was afraid. But when I read the scripture, when I understand what the scripture says, church, this is just, we're just passing by. We're just walking through this life. We might not be perfect. We might, you know, fail. And sometimes we need to come to God and repent from the things that we're doing. But God has the mercy for you and had so many hidden gems just if you understand what is he looking for. And he's looking for a church that knows how to fear him. But again, and I know you know this already, it's not a bad kind of fear. It's a good kind of fear. And the Holy Ghost will speak to you. The Holy Ghost will speak to you when sometimes you're doing things and the Holy Ghost kind of kicks you and says, hey, I think that is not pleasing to God. And sometimes you're having those thoughts and those ideas and those desires and it goes like, click. The Holy Ghost is speaking to you. The Holy Ghost is showing you how you're supposed to have that fear of God. That reverent fear. That is not that making you afraid. That is making you feel closer to him. Because you want to be protected by God. You want to feel closer to God. You want to have a relationship so deep with him that you have no fear. I love Psalms chapter 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we all know this verse and we all read this verse. And we all say, oh yeah, I just want to be there. But what God is requiring from us is that in order for us to get to that place, we have to be clean. We have to be clean in our hearts. We have to be clean in our soul. And look, the reason I'm preaching this word to you is not because I'm perfect, because I'm so far away from it. But because when I was reading these texts and when I was studying about it, I was talking to the Lord and I was telling him, Lord, help me to grow in fear of you. Again, it's not that bad. It's not a bad kind of fear. But it's respect. Respect to his word. Respect to his house. Respect to his presence. That when we present ourselves to him, we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. How is that living sacrifice? The Bible says that he doesn't like arrogancy. He doesn't like pride. He's looking for a meek heart. A heart that is broken in front of him. A heart that is just clear and is able to show him and tell him, Lord, look, I'm not perfect, but could you show me the things that I need to work on myself? And then the Lord is going to start speaking with you. But church, during these final days, and we are in the last days, I'm 100% sure of it. When you really look and it says the things that are happening, man, it's more clear than water. We're in the final days. It's where we need to grab a hold of God and where we need to be closer to Him and get closer to our Lord and tell Him, Lord, show me the things that I might not be doing right. Show me the things that I need to get better in your presence. Lord, you know, many times, and I think I mentioned this on Thursday, many times when I come to the presence of the Lord, I close my eyes and I imagine myself in a crowd of thousands of people. And I am there lifting my hands because I want to get closer to Him. My final goal is not to have the most beautiful house. It's not to have many, many kids, which my wife told me the other day. What if we have more than 4 kids? Maybe. But my final goal is to get to the presence of the Lord. This is just a walk. We're just walking through this life. And in order for us to really, really, really make it, we need to have the fear of the Lord. And I know this is not a message that a lot of people preaches, but we need to have that fear in our heart. We need to hide it and we need to cover it. And when you approach the Lord, approach Him with all the respect that you can have. I want to invite you to here to the front for a moment. And we're just going to pray. I'm not sure in what areas the Lord is working on you. I am not sure what is He talking to you towards holiness. I am not sure in what areas He's telling you that you need to be holy and what areas you need to cast away, just move away from. 1 Peter 1:15, I'm going to read it again. It says, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. And I love this part because it says, in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And then he jumps and he says to pass the time of your sojourning or the time where you're walking in this earth here in fear, but it's not the bad kind of fear. It's that understanding that when we present ourselves to the Lord, we gotta present ourselves with major respect. We gotta come to Him. We can bow our head and we can just talk to Him. And I invite you for a moment just to close your eyes and we're gonna pray. You're gonna pray the way you wanna pray. But the intention for me with this message is for you to draw closer to Him. For you to get closer to His presence. For you to walk every single day knowing that the Lord is with you. He's going with you. But He requires that powerful respect. Just bow your head for a moment and let's pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord. Thank you for leaving a plan for my life, Lord. Oh, Jesus, I recognize I am not perfect. But I want to make it to heaven, Lord. I don't just want to be here in this place. I want to understand what Paul says, that to me, to live is Christ. And to die this cake. Help us understand, Lord, that this is just a walk right now. We're walking towards the promised land. That you're the promised land, Lord. We want to get closer to you, Jesus. Examine our hearts, Lord. Look deep down in my heart, Jesus. And help me to understand what are the things that I need to start changing. Purify me, Lord. Purify my heart. Oh, church. Just join with someone else and start praying for a moment. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.